You heard the word of the Lord for our meditation today, our second reading, Revelation 5, 11 to 14. We pray. Lord Jesus, you are truly risen and rule all things from God's right hand for the good of your church. Strengthen our faith, open our eyes, give sight to us who are blind by nature, and grant that we may rejoice in your holy rule and the increase of your government and peace. Help us, Jesus. Amen. In the name of him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, dearly redeemed of the Lamb. Do you also enjoy good stories about angels? Maybe you've even had some experiences where you're just sure that the only explanation for how you survived something, or it just seemed like there must have been at least one of the Lord's angels there. You hear those stories. But there is something going on in our culture when it comes to the angels. If you watch the movies that they like to put out in America, or the series, there's always something just off. And typically it's something as ludicrous as the death angel. Was his name Andrew, some friendly guy in one of the series on so long? And really? The angels, according to the Bible, were created by God during the 6 days of creation. But maybe you have a problem with creation. People do. But then what happened that there's bad angels? Well, the Bible tells us. Not a lot of details, but it does tell us that Satan rebelled. The demons followed him. They were cast out of heaven. And it explains an awful lot of the trauma going on in our culture today, especially what's aimed at Christians. Satan hates you. He hates Christ. The world hates Christ, and Jesus said it will hate you too because it hated me. So we should not be surprised, but nor should we be frightened. You think about the early Christian church, how they were facing some serious persecutions coming when the Roman Empire would aim all their cruel hatred against those who would not worship the emperor. And there were city officials that liked certain Christians and would beg them, just sacrifice to the emperor. You can keep on worshiping Jesus, but just sacrifice to the emperor. That's all. Christians wouldn't do it. Some fell. It did happen. The church had to decide what to do with those who repented later and wanted to come back. Repentance is repentance. They were accepted. But the fact is, that's kind of how it is in our culture, isn't it? You Christians, you just go ahead and do your thing if you want, but what's good for you, that's not good for me. And, you know, you can't be so exclusive. And yet, if you know Christianity, it's the most inclusive of all religions because Christ died for all. His blood was shed to wash away the sins of all people of all time and all the sins. So you can say to anyone you know, no matter what religion they claim to be, you know, Jesus died for you too. You know, he took your sins away too. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Thus says the Lord. But the sin of unbelief, the rejection, Jesus says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. So in a certain way, Christianity is also the most exclusive of the religions because Jesus will not permit anything else. Why would God accept somebody else's works when his own son came to live the perfect life in your place, die the death that we deserved, and then rise again to glory? Why would he accept something else? Doesn't make sense. Why would you offer anything else when you have Jesus? Ultimately, then and now, there's this question. Who will praise? Who will sing Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was sacrificed for us to adore. This fifth chapter of Revelation has the first of 33 times where John is inspired in this revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse, to say, I looked, or I saw, and I heard. So he's looking at what's going on in the earth, and then what's going on in heaven. This has been described as the Lord, as the cameraman, panning down on what you can expect of plagues and difficulties in this life, of the persecutions coming, and then shining the camera up into heaven to show what is going on there. There are seven visions in Revelation. So we call it Revelation singular, but there's seven visions there, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the very first verse says it's given with symbols. So it's to be taken figuratively. The Bible actually says this is figurative language. But what's happening is not dispensations, as some will argue. They try to take the seven visions and make them one after another historically. And I've listened to some of the things they said, and it's almost, they get so angry about it. They don't know their history, not even their world history. It just doesn't fit. But what's happening is that this is all going on right now. So what we get to see here today is the Holy Spirit shining the camera up in heaven. Because in heaven, time and space, immaterial. God exists in the eternal present. He's outside of this. So this is what he saw. Angels. And not just one. You ever have somebody tell you, no, we each have one guardian angel? Doesn't say that. This is hard to count. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands, myriads of angels. Only God knows their number. We can't count them. And when more are needed, more will be there, as God commands. A movie I watched, apparently a miracle actually happened. You heard about Cokeville, Wyoming? Somebody set off a bomb in a classroom filled with children, 158 children and teachers. The bomb went off. Miraculously, it blew straight up. Only one of five of the caps went off. Not one child or teacher died. The only ones that died was a man who built the bomb and his wife. Unbelievable. Unless you believe that the Lord protects. Sometimes he allows these things to go their course, and sometimes in a case like this, you can't deny the existence of the angels. There they were. But you know what bothered me about that movie? Not one mention of Jesus Christ. You can do some research if you want. Who put the movie out? It's not Jesus as the eternal God and Savior. And that's what happens over and over again. It's like people want to worship the angels. Is that right? It's not what the angels are doing here. Oh no. These myriads of angels with a loud voice are calling out, "Worthy is the Lamb." The Lamb. He is the conquering Lord and King. Other places pictured on a white horse, going out to conquer. But here pictured as the Lamb. Do you see the mercy in that? Who would run from a lamb? Kind of like the baby in the manger. This is God from all eternity who runs from a baby. God is trying to win over the hearts of all who see this. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, Revelation is just so scary. Pay attention. Look at how this lamb who is slain, he's worthy to receive. It's a Greek word that more literally would mean take. To take his power and reign. And he's worthy of power and riches. Did you notice the list of seven here? There's a Lutheran pastor who did a study on what was called the chymeter. If you look in the NETNT, the New Evangelical Translation of the New Testament, in the appendices, there's quite a bit in there about the chymeter. The genius of the Holy Spirit in giving, you know, inspiring his holy writers could use numbers as he does in Revelation, but also lists. I remember hearing how the scholars said, yeah, John, you know, fisherman, didn't know he's Greek. He used a syndeton, the word for saying and too many times. I used to correct sophomore compositions in high school, and too many ands, you know, run-on sentences, just string it all together with ands. Well, that's the way John wrote, on purpose. Because in a list of seven like this, sure enough, if you look closely, seven is the number of judgment. If it's a judgment for, it's an acquittal. If it's a judgment against, it's a condemnation. So there are seven things here. The angels are praising and singing, "Worthy is the Lamb," seven times over. He's worthy of power. That dynamite word that was in my confirmation passage, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Power is dynamis, dynamite. The power comes from the gospel. What's rooted in our hearts, what messes us up in our families, our marriages, our raising children, our society, running schools, is so often that we want to rely on the law. There's a time to help people see their blindness, their sin, but the power is in the gospel. The power is there in the forgiveness of sins and the riches that Jesus can take back now, because during his time of humiliation and suffering on this earth, he gave it all up. And you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Worthy is the Lamb to take hold of wisdom. He not only knows what to do, got all the facts, but he knows how to use them. But he also is worthy of strength to go ahead and do it. It happened to me when I was young too, so you can't blame it on age. There are just those times when you get this great plan, right? It's all in your head. You're going to do it. And then you forget what the plan was. Or you walk around a corner, oh yeah, that's what I was going to do. Or you find it sometime later. It used to be you could blame it on somebody, right? There'd have to be somebody at home to blame it on. But there's only one somebody in our house right now. How did that get there? But the Lord doesn't do that. He's got the wisdom and he's got the strength to carry it out. And so he is worthy of honor and glory and blessing. So my Chinese friends had a real problem with that blessing part. Pastor, doesn't God bless us? How is it we would bless God? But it says both. See, when the Lord blesses, he has the power to make it happen. The same Lord who at creation said, "Yehi or, vayehi or, let there be light," and there was light. He puts his blessing on you. Like one old man said, "If all I got out of the service was the blessing at the end, it'd be worth going to church." That blessing is so powerful. But the Bible also turns it around where, "Bless we the Lord." Remember that from the old liturgy? "Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God." There's not power in what we're saying, but we're praising him. We're wishing him well. We're saying, "Lord, we really want all of your plans to succeed." Because you know what that means? It means the Lord is blessing you. It means the Lamb is seated on the throne, watching over all things, guiding and directing things for the good of his church, whether we can see it or not. He's still hiding his glory as the Lamb, but he rules, and he's worthy of blessing far beyond what we can say. Did you see that in Saul? When Saul is converted, what mercy there is there. Jesus knew that Saul was there to, you know, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He knows the answer. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now you go into the city and you'll be told what to do. 3 days he's blind. But when Ananias, that I'm glad I never got that assignment, go to this flaming persecutor, I can just see Ananias shaking as he's telling the Lord, don't you know he was sent here as a persecutor? What he's been doing, I've been told. No, you go. He's going to be my chosen instrument for the Gentiles. We're sitting here worshiping the God of the ancient Jews because God took this flaming persecutor and said, you go. But there's mercy there. He says, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus says, be baptized. Wash your sins away. He talks more about that a couple of times in Acts about what went on there and what he was told about baptism. It's just amazing. It's the mercy of the Lord, the Lamb, ruling, still drawing people to himself, because worthy is the Lamb to be worshiped as God forevermore. I also heard every creature. Oh boy, there you go. Creature. It really seems, no, it actually is true, that from Genesis through Revelation, creation is either specifically stated or assumed. No way around it in the Bible. It's what it says. How comforting is that to know that God can do all things? So I heard every creature, all creation, it's almost like antiphonal singing here, in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. So the angels are singing out, worthy is the Lamb. The creatures of the whole world singing out, worthy is the Lamb. Wonder if in heaven we'll be able to hear that and understand it. Creation actually singing. There were many, many empires along the way. Imagine being in the first century of Christianity when all you can see going on with these eyes is the confiscation of your property, the arrest and imprisonment of your leaders, and the gladiatorial executions of men, women, and children for pagan entertainment. Everything would look like you're losing. Looks like the church is going down in defeat. By the time 100 AD, when Revelation is written, all the apostles were dead, except John. The rest died for their faith. They got nothing in return. No money, no power, no nothing. By their death, they said, Christ is risen indeed, and I'm going to be with him. Nothing in this life is more important to me. But the Lord had said John would live, and now he's in exile on Patmos. They're running out of apostles. They all thought that Jesus was coming immediately. It was imminent. They had no way of knowing how long this New Testament era would stretch. But we walk by faith, not by sight. And if you look back in history, you can see one empire after another crumble and fall. Some of them, like Alexander the Great's empire or the Third Reich, you can go to that too, they didn't even survive the death of their founder. Right? Alexander's empire to the four winds, basically. The Third Reich, Hitler killed himself. It crumbled. There was a time when everybody thought they were going to conquer the world. People didn't know how it was going to turn out. But we do know how it will turn out for the kingdom of Christ. Why? He who sits on the throne deserves this glory as worthy as the Lamb. He sits on his throne as the one that the Lord said through Isaiah, of his government and peace there will be no end. Remember that? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. For he will reign on David's throne, establishing and upholding it forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That word zeal in Hebrew means red-hot anger. Oh, he's the Lamb, all right, but he's also the conquering victor. Worthy is the Lamb because his peace, his government continues. And the angels are echoing the sound of the 24 elders. There's a number for you. 12 Old Testament, 12 New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the one church of Jesus Christ. All who trusted in the Messiah to come and in the Messiah who has come and is coming again. 24 elders, they're singing, echoing the angels. That's what we sing. You probably heard that. Doesn't that sound like our liturgy? Oh yeah, where do you think they get the liturgy? The best of it comes out of the Psalms. And then the four living creatures said, Amen. Oldest word in human speech. That's what it is in Hebrew, Amen. You know what it is in Chinese? Amen. I don't have to go on. Everybody says it's the same. You can hear it. You can tell. Maybe a little accent. It means solid, true. This is faithful. We believe this. And the elders bowed down and worshiped. They bowed down and worshiped. Notice who's worshiping. Nobody in heaven is worshiping the angels. But you know what happened when twice John tried? Oh, yeah. Chapter 19 and then in chapter 22 at the end, he tries to bow down and worship at the feet of the angel who was showing him these things, and the angel very emphatically said to him, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and the prophets and also with those who hold on to the words of this book. Worship God. If you know all about angels, but you don't know about Jesus Christ, who's in charge of all the angels, then you don't know about angels. You can fool yourself all you want, but they worship God. And those who don't are the fallen angels. And the angels rejoice in the presence of God. And God rejoices in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. So those times when you feel really guilty, really beside yourself with distress about your foolish things that you say or the attitudes of your heart, and you just know this isn't the right attitude. I've gone for days sometimes where I know, Lord, this is not how I should be feeling. Sometimes your feelings just have to catch up with your faith. But you got to just repent. Take it to the Lord and know that He is waiting with open arms. And in time, He will create that new heart in you that you want so much. And in heaven, we will be able to worship God as joyfully and eagerly as we really want to. God planted that in our hearts. There's a description of another one of our pastors. Quite a few have been adopted. And this one happens to be Paul Prangy, who's the administrator for the Wisconsin Synod for our ministerial education. And he wrote in the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly for Pastors back in 2003, Worship began for me before anyone knew my name. In that adoption agency, 8 days after I was born, someone put water on a baby without parents, a baby with quite an uncertain future, and said the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I doubt that an outsider would have observed any high drama. There were no sponsors or cameras of any sort. I doubt that they used one of those fancy starched white linen napkins. They did sign a certificate. I've seen it. Then they whisked me off to, well, I don't actually know where, but despite the shadowy vagueness of the earthly scene in my imagination, the heavenly reality of what happened there is clear. Here's the sight marching victorious over the blindness. angels sang. The angels present in that room shouted amen and broke into a perfect song of rejoicing that another sinner had been brought to repentance and faith. The earthly child may have felt only a bit of moisture on a very bald head, but the heavenly reality is that he was submerged, gasping into water of death and blood, and then raised overhead, cleansed, to be placed as a trophy on a mantle where only holy things can be displayed. My dear Christian friends, so great is God's love for you. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen.